I'm Lori Levenger. I'm reading Victoria's testimonial. She says, "We were just children when we saw ourselves forced to become little adults because we had to maintain our daily living by means of work, shelter not to be killed, and repress suffering, pain, and anguish. The simple fact of losing or the forced disappearance of my dad changed everything. We had no more father protection, as other children my age had back then. At about 3:30 on September 13, 1981, a Sunday, when repression, tension, and silence was a part of social relationships, my father went to visit my grandmother when he realized he was being followed. No words were spoken. In a corner, two men cornered him, kicked him, and made his face bleed. He barely could stop to ask for help and could enter the house of a neighbor of my grandmother's. She was going to help him. The 4 o'clock bus started its departure from the park. He perhaps thought that if he got in, those thugs would leave him alone. When he got in the bus, he was already beaten, scratched, and bloodstained. He reckoned that the killers wouldn't get on the bus, but they did. One of them got in through the main door, the other through the back door. When the bus left the village, the two men waited until they arrived where the old military detachment of Comalapa was. When they arrived to the place, they ordered the driver to stop and wait. They talked to the soldiers in there, and then they made my father come down out of the bus. Witnesses say he didn't want to get off the bus, but they shouted at him and hit him again, and dragging him, they pulled him out of the bus by force. Those who saw it tell that they took him dragging uphill and that he was bleeding, and they kept hitting him. The bus driver defended my father, insisting that he was innocent, that he had already been hit, but the soldiers threatened him when they heard that. Go away, all of you, otherwise we'll kill all the passengers. Go away and don't get in trouble. The bus driver had no choice but to go away with his passengers, seeing the violence that the soldiers and the people that pulled my father away exerted, the way they pulled him uphill. Even they said that they'd probably kill him after that night because of the blows and because he was already unconscious. In the moment that my dad was taken, he carried an ID card from the Defense Ministry, which guaranteed that he was a loyal citizen and not an enemy or member of the guerrilla. Perhaps this document confused and deceived my father because he thought that it would protect him against a potential kidnap. However, it didn't avoid his kidnap in front of so many witnesses. Actually, witnesses say this, the soldiers were laughing while they read the document and hit him more. It was and still is very sad to remember and to describe what happened to him, because it was the end of a stage of our lives and the beginning of another, when the situation was so hard, inhumane, and full of injustices. Despite more than 33 years that have passed, my siblings, my mom, and I have not been able to forget and live our lives. We carry a deep void inside us, a pain that we haven't known how to heal. We haven't known how to stop crying. And the long-standing mourning, not just because of the loss of my dad, but also for the disconnection we had from our social environment of the place where I was born.